DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. It is me, Happy KB. How is everybody doing out there in DMT World podcast land? It's been a minute. I kind of needed to take a hiatus for a little bit, regroup, got lots of stuff that has occurred, and you have those moments where you need to put things down and concentrate on the things that are important, work on the stuff that you need to get done, and then go back at it, and that's kind of where I'm at. So here I am, I'm back behind this microphone, I'm back at it. There's been so much that's gone on. I've been sitting here trying to get my wits together and put everything I want to talk about and do together in my brain, and it's not working very well. So this is kind of a fly by the seat of my pants. Not a lot of preparation. Just feel like I need to sit down and talk in my microphone. It's super crazy. So I do this thing where I bought a dictaphone, Yes, I have a phone that I could do this on, and I understand this, and I've tried to rationalize this out, why I need to do it this way instead of this handy-dandy computer that we carry around in our pockets and our hands and our purses and our wallet, whatever, and that we're tied to. I find it very hard when I'm feeling inspired or I want to talk. I find it very hard to pull the phone out, set it up, get it to where it's going to do what it should do. A lot of time, I'm kind of not super old, but I don't have a top of the line phone, and it doesn't always pick up my words. I talk text a lot when I'm texting people, and that's when I realize the most that one, I speak very quickly. I am a fast talker. I do not enunciate as well as I should, I think, when I'm talking to my phone, which is really interesting because I'm an actress. I act. I perform. I sing. And musical performance is very crucial when you're singing on stage, utilizing consonants. That's important so people can understand, because when you're singing through a song and you've got T's or D's or even P's, things that need to have an ending on them to complete the sound that you're singing. If you don't, things get mushy and you can't really understand a lot what's being sang. So it's really important that enunciation happens. And I don't do that unless I'm performing, I guess. I've times listened to these podcasts, which I don't do very often. I don't like to listen to myself. I don't like the way that my voice sounds. But I will sometimes go back and I've listened to some of the podcasts because I had to either catch up on the Woodstock 99 story so I can continue talking about it, or I had to go back and edit some stuff because some things were slipped through, things like that. So I cringe when I hear my own voice. Same with watching myself. I can't stand seeing myself perform. I can't do it. I love to perform and I like to do it, but I don't particularly like to watch myself do it or listen to myself do it. Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, I've realized with my phone that I do not enunciate very well, and so therefore my phone really texts out some really strange things to people, and I always find I have to apologize and remind them that I am a talk texter, and most of them know. They know when cattywampus things start coming across their screen, they're like, oh, KB must not be texting, she must be talking. So that's a thing, but I'm not sure exactly what I was I don't know where I was going with that, but anyways, my dictaphone, I'm sorry. I decided I was going to get one of these. It's just a handheld, it's a recorder is what it is, but it's just the recorder. In fact, you can set it up to be on and only activate when you start talking, which is brilliant for me because sometimes I have these most wonderful podcast episodes in my car when I'm driving. I have the best conversations. My ideas are just amazing as I'm driving in my car, usually when I'm spoken, but as I'm driving in my car, and that's when I realized that I needed something to record some of those conversations, personal, like solo conversations with, so you all can get to hear them too. So I'm trying to get into this habit of when I'm in my car, I have my dictaphone there ready. I turn it on when I get in the car, because if I'm struck with inspiration, I want to be like, blah, 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 blah. So far, I haven't been able to like get into the rhythm of it yet, but I'm still working on it. But I do. I have some great conversations with myself when nobody's around to listen. So yeah, that was an idea. So one of these days you might get a podcast just full of car conversations that I had with myself at certain points and times. Who knows? I would like to tell you guys that this is the month of April, and I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but we have come upon 5 years. It is our fifth month of our fifth year. So happy birthday to DMT World. We went live in April, and we got established. We're established. It's kind of mind-blowing when I sit and think about it, how long it's been. I've actually known a lot of you guys longer than I've known some people in my actual, like, real life, like my, like, in real life, be not on my computer. So I think that's pretty cool that I have so many good people in my life, in this community, that have stuck it out for 5 years. If you haven't been here the full 5 years, and you are here now, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate the people that have found us. I appreciate the people who have stayed. I even appreciate the people that came and they have left us because they left their mark. They left their vibe. They got to spend some time with us, and we got to spend time with them. And that's important. It doesn't matter how long you've spent time, you know, how long you've been in DMT World. If you were a part of DMT World at one point in time, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being here and sharing your vibe with us. I appreciate all the people that have left and have come back. Our last interview that we did was with Alex, 8721, and that was pretty cool. Getting to sit on the other side of a microphone and get to talk to him was cool. So it was kind of like, you know, the past meeting the present, and now we're going into the future. So whatever we do in this present time, at this point in time, in the now, it affects what we do in our future. So keep that in mind, friends. Stay awake in the now. Do those things that you want to accomplish here and now. That way, as you go forward, it's going to be there in the future for you. So I've had a long time to think. What's been going on? There's a lot been going on. We had a death in our family, which kind of was, takes the breath out of you when you got a family member that passes away. It was my dad's youngest brother, and it was really hard. The Bartletts, we come from a racing family. My granddad raced an old jalopy, the number 98. It was black and gold. It was a jalopy, legitimately a jalopy, and then they cut the top off of it down and they modified it and became a modified sprint car. We come from a racing family, and so when my dad and his brothers were young, when they all would graduate, their graduation present was to get to go to the Indianapolis 500, and so that was a tradition as us grandkids were growing up. We got the opportunity to go to the Indianapolis 500 as well. So not all of us gravitated to it, but I did, because I enjoy going to the races. I especially enjoy the Indianapolis 500. I really enjoy modified sprint cars. You name it. I like stock. I like it all. I like it's fun. I think it's fun. I like to listen to the cars. I like to watch the race. So I like to race. I've never raced in a race car, but you know, we are a racing family, so I appreciate it. I have a cousin that, where she lives, she was actually on a pit crew with a couple different race car groups, so it's in our family and we love it. So one of my cousins oldest daughter is graduating this year, and which is really cool. And one of the things that he wanted to do, he wanted my uncle, wanted to take. In fact, my uncle and his daughter, when my grandparents passed away, we still, the jalopy that my granddad and them drove had it in the garage. And so my Uncle Ed and his daughters went and they took that vehicle, and I'll tell you what, they restored it. They restored that race car, that old 98 race car, back to its form. And we've seen it run in the what they call the powder puff races. It's when they take out the old antique cars and they just kind of run them around the track if they're able to. So that's pretty cool. So my uncle had decided that he wanted to take his granddaughter to Indianapolis with them. A couple of years, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, we had all went. My dad has 3 brothers and they all have daughters. And so we did a father-daughter Indianapolis trip, which was super fun. And so my Uncle Ed wanted to take his granddaughter and his daughter was going to go. And then me and my brother and my son and his girlfriend and my dad were all going to go. And it was a very important trip. Very important trip. This is going to be a great trip. So anyways, my uncle came down with leukemia, was diagnosed with leukemia, and he didn't make it. He passed away last month, and the main thing he was most concerned with was he wanted to make it to that race. And so he didn't make it. He passed, and we went to his funeral. They cremated him. We got to when we went to the memorial service. Actually, it was the day before when we got to meet the family. It was kind of cool. We walked in, and his urn was sitting there. And they had when my dad and his brothers were born. My grandmother had these little black racing shirts made that said 98 on them. And when my grandparents had passed away, I guess my Uncle Ed and Aunt Shauna had found my Uncle Ed's, and which was super cool. And that's what they put on his urn when we went for visitation, which was really kind of cool. But the girls and his granddaughter were still going to the Indianapolis 500, and we have decided that we are going to take some of my Uncle Ed with us, and we're going to leave it at the Indianapolis 500. So that's a pretty cool thing. It's pretty hard to the realization that both of my dad's youngest 2 brothers have passed already, and my dad and his twin are still alive. I mean, it's kind of a thing. So this is gonna be a really emotional trip. Sorry, I got a little emotional there, but my family is the most important thing to me, and to share things like that with people who are listening, it means a lot. So forgive me for my tears and sniffles, but so I just want to share that. That's something we went through a lot. So yeah, death is hard. Well, there's been a lot of death lately. We're dealing with a lot of death in our world. We've got a lot of sudden death that's happening, people are unaware of. We've got a lot of cancer. We've got lots of things happening. So my charge to you is make sure that you're telling your people you love them. You make sure you hug your people, you hug your kids, you hug your parents, you hug those people in your life, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. We never see tomorrow. Everything happens in the now. So in the now, make sure that you are spreading love, make sure you are telling people how you feel about them, and trying to make your life and other people's lives a little bit better. Just, people are important, and we need to keep remembering people are important. So, what's been going on? Let's see. Yeah, we experienced that. My daughter and I just came back from Michigan. We went up for the Hash Bash. did we make it to the Hash Bash? We close. But we kind of had our own little sessions and had a really, really, really fun time. We, us and a few other people from the community met up in Ann Arbor, and I had gotten a B&B and stayed at the B&B with them, and it was super fun and super cool, and there's going to be a lot more trips. We did not video this one. We're still working on the KB's Caravan of Ethnofest. It's so close. We're so close. It just, time has gotten away from us, but it's going to come out, and I keep telling myself, you know, nobody, there's no time limits here. Once it's posted, you know, it's going to be out there forever. So you guys, it's a fun trip. And when the video gets posted, I can't wait to share it with you, but we'll get there. I promise. I know I keep talking about it, and it'll happen. You'll see it. but my daughter and I went this last week to Michigan to Hash Bash, and we had a good time. Got to experience some cactus. That was lovely. I liked the way that the cactus felt. It was very comforting, and it was warm and very cushy, and it wasn't chaotic. Sometimes when I'm tripping, especially like on acid or even mushrooms, can be very chaotic in my brain at time, and that chaos did not exist with the cactus, and it was beautiful. It was very, very much, the vibe was love, and it was kindness, and it was beautiful. I had one of the probably best experience so far, and can't wait to do cactus again. So thank you very much to the person who allowed us to share in that experience with them. So hats off to you. You know, I really enjoy getting to meet up with people that are in the community, and I hope someday I get to meet other people in the community that we can get together and we can spend some time and have some sessions and just sit and chill and talk. And I think we are our best medicine sometimes, and the people I got to spend a couple days with and just got to let loose, I really appreciate you guys mean a lot to me, so thank you very much. Let's see. La la la. So if this is the first time that you have tuned in to the Rambling Rabbit, again, my name is Happy KB. I am the Rambling Rabbit. DMT World. If you've not ever been to DMT World, this is right now, I'm going to invite you. Please come to www.dmtworld.net. If you've never been to the website, please come and check it out. It's free to join. You can be part of the community. You don't have to pay anything. But I will let you know that we there is the opportunity to help us keep DMT World going. Everything is... I'm trying to find up Patreon. Every person, everything that happens in DMT World is done by hand. The upgrading of accounts, the staff does everything by volunteer. I'm trying to do something and talk at the same time, and obviously it doesn't work that well for me. everybody that's on the staff, they do this for free. They do this because, well, like me, it's a labor of love. They believe in this community. They believe in the importance of this community. And they have been kind enough to, agree to help me be on the staff and monitor and just help keep everything running. We have community builders, and then we have staff that are in our Discord that are always in our Discord and there to talk to people, laugh with people, have a good time with people. I'm very much appreciative of those that do spend the time in our Discord and those that do actually work for us and do and went to our community builders. So I want to say thank you very much for those of you that do that. I want to say thank you to the staff that is on DMT World. They work hard. They are constantly watching out and making sure that we're all safe, making sure that there's nothing squirrely or illegal happening on the site, and they're always there to lend an ear or give advice or just be there with you guys. And so I want to say thank you very much to the staff. I can't do this, couldn't do this without you. And I wouldn't want to do it without you because it would get very lonely, I think. So, like I said, if you've never been to the site, please come and join us. We've got some really great people that are in our community, very knowledgeable people. Like to share what they know, like to show off what they're doing, and they have some really good conversations. So we've got some music, we've got art, we've got a marketplace, we've got so many different types of groups, and it's not just DMT, folks. This is the largest community focused on psychedelics. So we talk about everything, and we do welcome anybody that wants to come and join us because we're always looking for new people. We like the others, so come and join us. Now, I was telling you about the people that help us out, the people that run the site, everything that goes on in the site. We do have a Patreon where you can donate. There are two tiers, actually, that you can do. One tier is a merchant. We do have a marketplace in there, so if you're like, I've got some stuff I want to try to sell, you can donate at $5 a month, and that gives you the ability to sell things out of our market that's on DMT World. And then there is, what is this psychonaut status? And this one is this is the one that I recommend to everybody because this covers everything. What this psychonaut status does is, for $8 a month, you have access to channels that are in our Discord. In those channels, we do different type of events. We do a round table talks. We have other events that are coming up that we will be doing in our Discord, so that if you are of psychonaut status, you will have access to those things. Also with the psychonaut status, you have the ability to create groups in the website. You also have the ability to be a merchant as well and sell stuff in the marketplace. And if you do become a psychonaut donor, we will send you one of our necklaces that are swag. It's some necklaces and some stickers. And then you also will get put into a group for psychonauts only for giveaways. So, again, this helps keep the lights on. This helps us keep running. This helps us keep updating the site, updating our things that we're doing, and it allows us to do more events and create and just keep DMT World going. So if you are wanting to donate and help us with all that, you can go to patreon.com/DMT World, and that's where the donor area is at. And once you have done your donation and got that going, if you want to send us a message in the Patreon as well, let us know pardon me, that you are a psychonaut donor. And give us your address and information, and then we can send you some swag so that you can show off our stuff to the world so they can come and find us as well. So that's my spiel on that one. We do have some updates, hopefully, that are coming up in the next couple months. We're always trying to keep things going and trying to keep things on top of stuff. So that's what we're doing here. Like I said, we will have the EthnoFest video up. Still have a GoFundMe out there. It's on the site if you're wanting to help me fund my next trip. I've got a few different ideas. If you have any ideas, I'm always open for people to send me messages and some cool things that I can do for the KB Scary Band. Even if it's just coming and seeing you and visiting you, and we have a meetup and we do it on the KB Scary Band, we can do that too. So I'm open to all kinds of suggestions. Pardon me, I needed some coffee. So I did mention that we have what are called the Roundtable Talks. It's the first Friday of every month at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time because, well, I live in Kansas. So It is the in the Saconaut only voice channel, so you do have must be a Saconaut donor. But I did let you know that you can go to the Patreon and you can donate, and then that will allow you to be take part in that. We have some really cool conversation. We get about so far we had I think our we've had about 15 people in that round table, and we were not able to do this last one because I was out of town. But usually we start with a topic and then we just sit there and we talk about it. And it's not like any of us are like, it's just us in the community and we're talking. So if it's not your thing, you don't have to participate by all means. If you want to participate, we always want to listen. I really like getting people in there to have some knowledge about some stuff or some experience because there are some other people in there that don't. So, you know, this is how we learn. The last time we talked about harm reduction, and I think that was very viable. We were supposed to talk about addiction. This next one coming up, I'm not sure if that's what the topic will be. It's not the topic of the whole thing. Like, it's just a starting point, and then we just kind of go from there. So even if you don't want to come in and talk, you are more than welcome to join in and listen. Like I said, there's some interesting things and conversations that we have. So I'm also always looking for some people to be on the Rambling Rabbit. If you'd like to be on an episode and would like to sit down and chat with me, we can do that. Just send me a message, get a hold of me. You can find me on Discord under Happy KB, or you can go to DMT World, look for me there, whatever's clever. So I want to sit down. I want to talk to some more people. I think I'm going to reach out and some of our past guests and get with them and see what's been going on in their world, because that's always fun. Talk to them and then see some of the other stuff that they've got going. So I don't know if you all know what's coming up. Bicycle Day will be here pretty soon. But today is April 16th. And I'm not real sure how many of you actually know, but on today's date, 81 years ago, Albert Hofmann was the first human to feel the effects of LSD. He ingested an accidental dose of 25 micrograms 3 days before his 250 UG bicycle trip. I'm going to read you the journal entry from that day, from his notebook. So, April 16th, 1943. I was forced to stop my work in the laboratory in the middle of the afternoon and to go home. As I was seized by a particular restlessness associated with the sensation of mild dizziness, on arriving home, I lay down and sank into a kind of drunkenness, which was not unpleasant and which was characterized by extreme activity of imagination. As I lay in a dazed condition with my eyes closed, I experienced daylight as a disagreeably bright. There surged upon me in an uninterrupted stream of fantastic images of extraordinary plasticity and vividness, and accompanied by an intense kaleidoscope-like play of colors. This condition gradually passed off after about an hour or two. Albert Hofmann. And then, on April 19th, he took 250 microgram doses, and that's when we celebrate Bicycle Day. So that was a little neat little excerpt that I found. LSD is my favorite psychedelic of choice, and so around this time I always get a little excited. The whole thought of just massive amounts of people tripping on LSD just kind of makes me giggle. And I don't know, it's one of those substances that I don't think I would ever not want to have access to, because I like the insights that I get off of LSD. So yeah, April 16th, 1943. Just thought I would read that little quibit for you. I do want to let you know that we've got some new merchandise, some new designs in our merch store. I don't know if you guys have visited recently. I try to keep some new stuff happening in there. I do have some different designs in there from Alex that he has been gracious enough to send over and allow us to use on merchandise. So if there's anything that of Alex that you would like, there is some stuff in there from him. So there's quite a bit in our merchandise store. So if you haven't been to the merchandise store, you can go to dmt-world-2.creator-spring.com. Or you just can go to the website, go to the group merch store, and most everything that I've been posting and putting in the merch and in the merch store is in there, and it has links, so that way you can get to the stuff to look at them. If there is anything or any ideas or any types of shirts or anything that you are actually seeking or wanting, you can get a hold of me and we can see if maybe we can make something, create something, or get something put on something. So don't be afraid. Reach out and talk to me. I'd be happy to see what I can do to help you out. There's a lot of stuff going on, guys. Gosh, sometimes I sit and I'm just like, man, KB, you're not getting anything done. You're not doing anything. And then I forget. Nobody's expecting anything from me. And so that takes a little bit of pressure off my head because, you know, I am the worst. I am the worst. I am my worst critic. I'm just the worst. So I, in my brain, for some reason, think I have to, like, get all this stuff out and you guys are gonna hold me to the hilt because I haven't been doing anything, when I know most of you don't even think about me until I pop up. So that's okay. I got some different projects that I'm working on. What I do want to tell you is words. Yeah. Our very own other admin, we're going to be hosting an event in our Discord, which is going to be a Psychonaut level Patreon supporters only. He is going to do a dreams class. He wrote a book a while ago that's called Lucid Dream, and a lot of us in the community got a copy of this book, and so we have decided that he is going to do one of his Lucid Dream class, and it's going to be in the presentation area of DMT World. That will be not this weekend, but next weekend, which is April 27th. It will be at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that's 6 o'clock Central Time, and then that is 7 o'clock whatever the other time zone is. I'm so bad at the time zone game. Why can't we all just have one time zone? I mean, I know the answer to that, but still, I have to think in, like, dimensional time zones, and sometimes it's hard. It's really interesting to think that somebody is 2 hours behind me and somebody's an hour ahead of me, and then I've got people who are a day ahead of me and a day behind me, but it's whatever. It's one of those paradoxical things that I sit and I just kind of think about. And maybe I should get me a time zone map. I have an area in my room that I could put it up here. And then I can look at it. Maybe that's what I need. I'm a visual person. I come up with a lot of ideas, but I never follow through with them. I don't know why. Because I'm an idea person, I guess. It doesn't make sense, but it's whatever. Let's see. Told you about the dreams class. I don't know. I was looking at the site the other day and I was going through the groups. And I'm going to tell you, if any of you guys actually have groups on the website and you don't want to run them anymore, you can either put me on them as the founder and I will maintain them the best that I can, or you can feel free to just deactivate them. Like, you can delete them. And don't feel bad if you delete them. But a lot of them have stuff in there. So I have taken over a lot of them as the founders. That way, if somebody does decide to leave DMT World, it doesn't delete everything that's in the groups. So that's an option, just so you know. I don't know. World's kind of crazy, guys. We got a lot of weird stuff happening in our world. I just hope everybody is staying safe, is being smart, and is looking out for each other. That's the biggest thing. We gotta look out for each other. So, what I'm gonna be doing now, I've decided, is I am going to go into our trip report section, and I am going to each Rambling Rabbit, my solo ones, that I'm going to read trip reports from the DMT World community. I'm not going to say whose name it is, and I'm not even going to put the date, I probably will put the date, but I'm not going to put the names on it. That way, it's kind of anonymous, but you kind of get an idea of, like, when they were posted, and I hope everybody enjoys it. Don't crucify me if I can't say some of the names or whatever, if I stumble over my words. I don't normally, I'll be honest, I don't normally read trip reports unless people have asked me to. Trip reports to me are very, very personal. I'm always admire the people that do put their trip reports out here on the site, because I think it's very intimate. But for you to want to share them with the community, I think it's cool. I personally don't read a lot of trip reports, because like I said, it's very personal. And I also, when I am doing more tripping, like heavier tripping, I don't want ideas of what other people have experienced to program into my psyche. Like, I want to keep it as trip free. Now, when I'm like on a hiatus, I will read more trip reports. In fact, I do, that's when the ones that people have asked me to read, that's about the times I will read them. So, but I thought it would be really neat to get to hear some of the trip reports on the site from the beginning up till now. So you never know, you might hear your trip report read on the Rambling Rabbit. The title of this trip report is Ayahuasca with a Electronic Shaman. It was posted March 22nd, 2019. My first ayahuasca experience was maybe just over 10 years ago. I was naive and unsure of myself and had a lot to learn since then. I wrote down the experience in a chapter of an unfinished story that I wrote about that time in my life, which I've only shared with a few poor souls who have taken the time to read it with my almost forceful, "Is it good?" questioning. It tells the story better than I can write it up from memory, so I hope that sharing it will bring a light to others, a little of who I am and what ayahuasca can do for a first-timer. She looked at me with eyes of fire, snakes wrapping into her hair, roots of trees and vines growing to form her lips. I was not much more than a simple fly to her. The vast size of her figure was larger than life. She resided in what seems to be another layer of space and time. I was utterly in awe of the mass of her figure and powerful beauty that encompassed her. I pleaded obsessively for her compassion, which went unnoticed. I opened my eyes. I was back, and all was somehow normal. Do I dare close my eyes again? The fear. The adrenaline was flowing through my veins. I have nothing to lose. I closed my eyes, and as reality broke, I fell into the abyss. "Sure. You sure you want to do this?" Vine asked me. "Yeah, I'm sure," I replied. Vine had been reading about it for so long that it practically had become some kind of a mythical experience, causing him to wonder if the elusive substance even existed. It evaded him in his reading and straddled on the edge of reality and fiction. It was no longer fiction. Tonight was the night. I looked at Vine very seriously and scared. "Are you sure you want to do this?" Vine asked me. "Yeah, I think so." Vine had flown in last night. I didn't want to take it alone, and Vine didn't either, so we had to meet up someplace. We had read every ounce of information we could find on the subject and taken all the precautions we could. We had been dieting all day to make sure that the OI, which was required in our potion, didn't counteract with anything we would eat. If we did by some chance, we were told that it would result in our heart rates to accelerate to the point of death. We were hungry, but also ready to travel to this new and exciting realm. The goop over the electronic fireplace bubbled like something out of Hansel and Gretel fairy tale. We took turns stirring the mixtures so the heavy sediment wouldn't burn. It had been cooking for a number of hours and was almost ready. We filtered the liquid over and over until it resembled a fine wine. We filled two glasses, one filled with the MAOI, yellow with bits of seeds left over from grinding them, and another glass filled with a purple and blood red substance. Both cups were about halfway full, much more than could fit in one swallow, more than enough to get us where we wanted. We stood up from the bar stools we'd been sitting on, okay, feeling the dread and the sinking of our hearts, much like looking over the edge before jumping off a cliff. We were excited and needed to have our legs firm on the ground, ready for the sprint. We took the wine glasses we had filled with the MAOI and shifted it into our mouths and swallowed. The taste was horrible. I could only describe it as absolutely unpleasant, nasty urine-like flavor, which no matter amount, mind over matter will cover that taste. Time will never allow me to forget that taste. It was the definition of horrible. After cringing and utter distaste in our reaction, and we sat disgusted, our taste buds' reactions to each other, our descriptions were much the same. Surely now we know that this must have been some kind of an awful joke that convinced inexperienced, uneducated individuals to be traumatized by tastes of hell. No way could someone do this to themselves on purpose. It was inhumane. We waited the time recommended to us through our research, and we were ready for our next glass. I dreaded that idea. What came next can only be described as a repeat what my thoughts were on the first glass, and take the bile taste and multiply it by like 10. It was death. The gritty, bitter taste of the substance was the same taste that one would get from red wine, but horribly amplified to the point it was if you were drinking bark. I never wanted to repeat this experience again. I didn't care how amazing the experience could be. Regardless, the substance flowed through my veins. It was in me now, headed to my brain, and now was just a matter of time. My stomach hurt, and I was hungry, or maybe just wanted something to clear the horrible taste. Vine and I sat on the ground. Dim light surrounded us. It was night, and we were home alone. I started to get cold, my skin sweaty. I didn't feel well. I was still sick. Since Vine had flown in from his flight, and I had somehow formed a cold in the form of congestion and possible allergic reaction from the summer's growing plants, I could hardly breathe at the point Vine's plane landed in the terminal. "Well, how was your flight?" I asked him, with a cough and a choke. We talked in nervousness about the day's events and how we were both starving, and we had been not eating in fear of the future interactions of the MAOI in our systems, which could lead to a case of serotonin syndrome. We started to drive to my place, and even though we were just a few hours before blastoff, our stomachs pleaded for us to feed them, and we saw the local diner pass by. Me being sick and starving, the tires of the car squelched, and we stopped to order a load of pancakes and omelets. We would fast later. We arrived at my place in the dead of the night. The food didn't help with my sickness at all. I laid down in hopes to reduce the pain in my head. Vine watched a movie as I passed out in exhaustion. I woke up a few hours later to light glaring in my eyes from the window. I felt pretty exhausted, and my cold had gotten worse. What even made matters worse was the fact that we had to fast again for the next 12 hours. It's cold, man, I said to Vine. Yeah, it's getting cold. I think I feel something. Yeah, me too. Do you feel something? Yeah, I think... I'm not sure. We had read about the side effects and the changes in the temperature that occurred when altered states of consciousness occur. I had felt these effects before when I was sick in bed, poisoned from bad food, or the flu. Was this poison, I wondered? Don't think of bad thoughts. I closed my eyes as Vine lay on the ground next to me. I felt sick, starting to get nauseous. We had a trash can laid out next to us for the time when the purging came. Hold it in. I need time to absorb, I thought. 40 minutes had gone by now. La Perch getting itself ready for my ultimate, finally the ultimate exhaustion of all matter out every bodily orifice. And had felt a slight tingle in the top of my head, more near the front of my area of my eyes. As it grew more intense, I could close my eyes and see what seemed to be a light in the distance, glowing brighter as time passed. I wondered if the light was from inside the room where Vine and I lay. I opened my eyes, and the light was gone. It was dark. I closed my eyes, and the light started to appear again. Something strange, almost alien, started to make me feel anxious. I wondered if I had made a horrible choice. Vine and I had met in college a number of years back. I was straight out of high school and came from a religious family. For that reason, I didn't use any substance, including alcohol. Vine lived a few doors from me in the local dorms and often hung out to play video games and to talk about drama that occurred around us. Vine also came from a religious family, and he also didn't use any substances. He had recently become an atheist, so his primary reason for not drinking or smoking was for creative reasons for his music. He wanted it pure. Vine loved his music. Vine loved music. Vine would play his guitar for his fellow residents in the college dorms. His self-composed lyrics were of corruption and the government, his love for change and his passion towards people. He understood that most of his audience didn't understand what he was trying to communicate, but he didn't care. Vine was always generally a happy person. His long blonde hair splashed his face when he walked. To me, he was old for his age, as though his spirit was matured. I respected Vine, and I listened to him. I would tell him my problems, and he would discuss life and love. Over time, I began to let myself be pulled into the college life. I drank my first gulps of alcohol, even got a minor in possession, which ended up getting my roommate kicked out of the dorms as his father was the chairman for education in the state we lived in. I joined up with the River Crew, which was named because their obvious use of marijuana down by the nearby river that ran through our cities. Life had changed for me, and I was tumbling around in no general direction, desperately trying to find acceptance. I got to get out of there, was my only thought. I wanted to see the world. I had an adventurous heart, and I didn't see my life going anywhere. I was involved with girls and the social drama that college dorm life brings. I just couldn't take it anymore. Vine, why don't you believe in God? I asked. I just don't. I have a lot of reasons. I had it in my head to teach Vine about God. I wanted him to know the truth that I knew as a fact. I was determined. Vine and I walked around the college campus in the middle of the night. I had been troubled by a recent choice to leave school and join the military. I had to get away from things, get some order, travel a little, and prove myself with my strong religious views. I thought surely this was what God would want me to do. My family didn't see me grow as a person. I had no profession. But you should believe. You just have God in you. I can see it. Vine smiled as he looked at me. Well, thanks, man. You're awesome. Vine didn't judge me for my beliefs that he no longer held, and he could see that I didn't judge him for his. I just didn't understand them. I was sure I understood my own beliefs, and I would often judge those around me, seeing sin or God in them. I would see these things in others, but not myself. My eyes closed again, and as soon as I was transported, as a dream appears when I had extremely tiresome days and fall asleep hard and fast. The substance kicked in hard now. Hypnotic images of faces appeared, and then a shadow, the outline of a man, appeared, brighter than the image of him became, and clearer I could see who he was. He was an old Hispanic and seemed to be in the late 40s. He spoke in poor English tones. "Mister, I show you those things you asked about," he explained in his Spanish accent. I was told from the numerous book that I had read about on the subject of ethnogens that when you go into the realm of the spirit, you bring a question for them, something that they can guide you on. I wasn't sure about the whole spirit idea, but I figured it was worth a try. The last few years of my life had been filled full of regrets, depression, and hatred that I shared with myself and others. I had a lot to ask the spirit if they exist, and one of those questions was in hopes to find some answer to why. I, like many others in our society, treat others so badly. My failures in relationship was a pure example of this. I wanted to know how to change and once again love people and myself. As the man of my dreams dissolved into the past, I had lost sense of reality. A darkness passed and things became clear now in this new world. I flew into the past. Wings spread wide as I landed. As a bird on a fence, I saw a small boy play with toys, and a cooking summer grill stood near him. I recognized this from my past. I saw me as a young boy playing in the backyard and adults talking around sports over cold beer. I decided to run around near some of the old wood left there from the last winter. I hit the wood with my foot, kicking it to let out a childhood frustration, and wasps that grew angry because of the disturbance to their new home nestled in the wood came flying out in a full defense, stinging me with their powerful venom. I saw myself scream with pain and run from them, crying for something or someone. I removed this unknown hurtful force inside me. In my new bird form, I flew closer to the young me. I could see the skin on my arms swell with the pain. Sickness overflowed from me, the pain overwhelmingly. I was no longer the bird, but the skin of my arm inflamed and stretched to its extremes. I was dying, being violent by the poison. I opened my eyes. It was just too much. I rolled over from the uncomfortable feeling of the experience. I was back in my house, hearing the recording of the drums in the background, something we believed would help with the experience. Vine was next to me. "You okay?" Vine asked. I breathed out to make myself believe it. I breathed out a sigh of exhaustion. "I'm okay. Just saw some stuff. I was okay," I repeated myself to make myself believe it. Vine was quiet, and he too knew unconsciously what I meant by seeing some stuff. As I could tell, he was having his own experience. I closed my eyes and heard as the drum's beat became longer, longer, distorting into a hum of alternating frequencies. They were no longer drums, but electrical waves, particles of energy produced by the electric device which had birthed them. The experience fully in its peak. I found myself in front of my dad. I was just as naked as a person could be with clothes on. He was screaming at me. "You're stupid. Your fucking mom is a bitch. I'll kill her." I looked at him with my eyes filled with salted seas, tears flowing down my face. "You're not my son. I didn't know what I had done wrong." My lips trembled as my voice was hoarse with pain. "What did I do wrong?" The words shuddered from my throat. "Get out." I got out of my dad's van, stepped down onto the dirt road, and I traveled to my mother's house. My dad started up the van and drove off. Dust flew off his tires and covered me in the fine layers of stones. I stood there in shock, oblivious of what just took place. A card was in my hand for my birthday, my 16th year of being on this earth, my gift from my father. I hadn't seen my father in years. We hadn't talked much because more reasons than what happened when I was 16. My father had a lot of issues, and after the constant mood swings and bipolar to the extremes, he hated my mom for leaving him when she divorced him, and hated me because I reminded him of her. I had started joining the military as an excuse to separate ties. He was so bitter after my mother divorced him, and like any good parent, never spoke about the actual reasons or faults that may have led to the separation. He instead focused loneliness and pain into most every conversation we had, directing it all towards me. Stuttering, the thought of it coming to me as a poisonous plant matter continued to flow through my brain. I used to stutter. That's right. Now when I talk to people of higher authority, I no longer stutter, but I lock up, breathe heavy, and have a mild anxiety attack. The constant uneasiness of my dad. His change from pure happiness, loving kindness, to pure hatred. Didn't exactly help with my ease of talking to others or the love of others. I didn't trust anyone. I didn't trust myself. I had used to stutter and show my distrust of my weakness. Now I'm left with fear of failure, the fear of becoming who my dad was. Soon, I was falling into the depths of history. Farther back this time. I was a child in my mother's womb. It was warm. I felt secure. Nothing was going to hurt me. Not my father, not the bees from my vision. I had nothing to worry about. It lasted for what seemed an eternity. I felt like I was on a tender ocean wave, washing backwards and forwards. In the darkness of the womb, a woman showed herself. She, like the man, was Hispanic. She hugged a cauldron that sat between her chubby legs that extended from her overweight body. She looked at me with large eyes and glowing of knowledge. She was dirty from the hard work and the unclean living environment arrangement of being in the wooded hut with a dirt floor. She was poorly lit from the wood hut, and the glow of the light just barely lit up her face. She had a large spoon and a cauldron, and she slowly mixed the liquid inside as it cooked, and she turned the spoon around in the cauldron. My stomach clenched, and I felt sick. Sensing my uneasiness, she turned the spoon in the cauldron even faster. A feeling of losing control came over me, vibrating, scary, new. I tried to resist it, but it became stronger. I resisted it more. Sweat poured out of me, and I shook like I was freezing. The turning lady, which I now called her, continued to turn her cauldron, moving the wooden spoon faster and faster now. I shook with torrential force, at which one point I felt as though I had no choice. I either had to give in to the turning lady's will or die. My body forced out all I had in me. The red liquid poured into the trash can. The drum continued to play in the background, the sounds of the tribes from Africa. I grasped the edge of the trash can and put all my body into it, exhausting all I could muster to get this waste out of me. As I did, a sweet taste came out of my mouth. It wasn't the same horrible bark that I had in me all the time. It had transformed. I clenched the trash can again. A face appeared as I hurled the red bits of liquor and we consumed not long ago. A woman. She was beautiful. A sleek, fit face, black leather-like cloak around her neck and yellow eyes. Her cheekbones were defined and fit. She had pale, bluish skin that glistened like jewels. She looked at me for a moment as I explored her realm. I was free-floating like an astronaut, breaking away from the Earth's gravity, suddenly feeling weightlessness. As soon as she and her realm appeared, they were again gone. I was back in the wood hut. Years had passed in my mind, and everything was how I had seen it before. However, the turning lady was no longer around. Everything was going to be okay, wasn't it? I thought. The Mexican man now stood before me and turned to look into my eyes. In his Hispanic accent, he told me, "Mister, You okay? At this point, I knew I was going to be okay. I learned a small piece of why I acted the way I do. I wasn't sure if the man meant that he understands I mean well, or that now I'll be okay to live more complete life. It didn't matter. I was exhausted and ready to have this over with. My cold hadn't subsided and mucus flowed out of me like a river. I could taste the slight aftertaste of the sweet throw up in my lips. I didn't care anymore. I was defeated, broken, and anew. Light shone through the window, bright enough that the plastic blinds that swayed can no longer protect me from the rays. I felt its warmth on my cheek. I didn't die. I made it to the other side. I opened my eyes, and I just lay there. Vine was next to me. I woke him up. It was time to eat. Oh, food. Food tasted amazing. In all the actuality, everything was amazing. The slight overtones of the previous night still could be felt on some level. The glistening of the sidewalk with the tiny stones that reflect the light every which way created in my mind's eye what seemed to be the stars of the universe. The dinner surrounded by concrete, where we had eaten breakfast, not but 24 hours before, had been transformed into a 5-star restaurant. Vine and I discussed our experience and what we had taken from it. We had read so many books about the subject of psychedelics, but no book could describe the trial and amazement that occurred. It felt like a Roto-Rooter had gone through every neuron in my brain and removed all the buildup of negativity thought processes over the years. Something spiritual was growing in me that no Sunday church session could contest. I wasn't sure what it was, but it was both terrifying and exciting. Okay, friends, I hope you really enjoyed that true report. I have a feeling that I'm going to really enjoy reading these, especially the ones that are from the beginning when we started this. So I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to do this every time I do a solo. There may be some that are shorter than others, so you may get 2 or 3 in one time. I don't know. I haven't decided, but I've really enjoyed sitting here talking and getting to get back familiar with my microphone, and I look forward to talking to more people in the community. Like I said, if you're wanting to sit down and have a chat with me and we just kind of see what's up and find some things to talk about, I'd be happy. I would be so happy to get you on the podcast. Just get a hold of me. You can either find me on Discord under Happy KB. You can go to dmtworld.net and you can find me there under Happy KB. You can email me if you want to email me at kb@dmtworld.net. That gets to me. Let me know what you're doing. I'm still doing a sticker campaign. If you wanted some stickers, let me know. I'll send a few out. And as long as you put them up somewhere in the places that you live or you reside at and send me a picture back, I will be happy to send you out some stickers. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. All right, friends. Keep ascending.